Okay. We're in Isaiah chapter 7. You brought your Bible, right? All right. We'll have it up on the screen too, but I encourage you, bring your Bible. You can read along, you can make notes. You know, that way when I mess up, you can highlight it. Come back and remind me later. Isaiah chapter 7, starting with verse 1, says, "When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now, the house of David was told, 'Aram has allied itself with Ephraim.' So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out, you and your son Shear Jehub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, "Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, "Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it amongst ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it." Yet this is what the Sovereign Lord says: it will not take place. It will not happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you right now and we just thank you. Lord, we thank you that your word is here to guide us, direct us, to give us encouragement, to give us direction. Lord, help us to understand your word this morning. Lord, as I come and preach, may you speak through me to encourage your people here. Lord, each one here needs to hear from you, and might they hear from you this morning to be encouraged and blessed. Might the message they hear be directly from you. Father, we pray for your presence. We pray that we would give you our full attention. Lord, I pray that I would step aside and you would step forward. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have Ahaz, who's the king, son of Uzziah. And he's the king of Judah, and he's in Jerusalem. And he's been attacked. And the city withstood the attack. And they said, "Well, okay, we can do this." But obviously it must have about tested their strength, because when they heard that there was somebody else joining forces, they said, ho, we could deal with one, but we can't deal with both of these guys. How many people say, "You know, yeah, I can take that dude. You know, I can at least stand up and hold my own, maybe. Maybe I can't take him, but I can at least keep from getting too badly hurt." But, hold it. Now, two dudes? You know, I'm sorry, my name is not Jean-Claude Van Damme or one of these other action heroes. You know, I'd break my neck if I tried to do some of those moves. You know, fighting two guys at once, guess what? In the movies, they make it look easy. In reality, it doesn't work that way. The one guy gets beat up. And they're afraid. It says here that they shook. Like the forest are like the trees are shaken by the wind. We had some wind around here from time to time. You see the trees shake? Shake pretty good. Ever get nervous? Oh, this is what he's talking about. They're nervous. The issue here is they had this first battle, and they defeated. And they held their own. They protected themselves. They weren't giving God credit for anything. It was just them doing it. And then they heard about this, the other joining together. Now they had two of their enemies who were going to work together to take them on and to reduce their nation and divide it up as spoils of war. They're going to take your lunch money and buy their own treats with it. Well, there's a war coming. Okay, I know I'm going to have a battle. So you know what they did? The king did, like any good king. He's out trying to make sure that they're at least they're secured, that things have been done. You know, the water supply in any city is the most important item to have. You can live a lot longer without food than you can live without water. If you don't have water, you will be done in just a couple of days. That's it. No water. No army. No battle. We win. So the king's out checking out the aqueduct, checking out the water supply. And God sends Isaiah there with a word to explain to him what he's doing wrong. Now when Isaiah shows up and after he's been sent there, he says, say to him, be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. You've got four declarations there. Be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. I mean, what do people do when they get out of control? Well, they stop being careful and they lose heart and they're afraid and they start running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Ever see somebody in a panic? Oh yeah, been there, done that. Somebody panicked? Don't panic. There's a movie and a book that has that theme. Don't panic. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So, I got a couple laughs from a couple people on that one. But it is true. You know, and the biggest situation is don't panic. And then God tells them why they don't need to panic. You see, sometimes panic, I have a perfectly good reason to panic. Some people say, and God is sending Isaiah to Ahaz to tell him, you got no reason to panic. It's kind of interesting the way he describes these guys as two smoldering stubs of firewood. And he speaks of them, about the head of them. He says, it will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only resin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. And Samaria, the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. Who's their head? If God is telling us who the head of these two political groups are, these two kingdoms, who's their head? That leads us to question, who is the head of Jerusalem? Who's the head of Judea? And the answer is God. And that's why God sent Isaiah to remind him, you're not the head. You may be king, but you're not in charge. You are not the ultimate authority here. God is telling him, I am the one in charge. Things look like they're out of control. Things like look like you have every reason in this world to panic. And God's injunction is, keep calm. Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. Why? Because it's not going to happen. Because God said it's not going to happen. Now, God doesn't say every problem isn't going to happen. But the command and the injunction that he has here for Ahaz and the people of Jerusalem and Judea and for us is the last half of verse 9. It says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Where are we placing our faith? Are we placing our faith in our current political rulers? Am I placing my faith in the mayor of Brooklyn Center, in the governor of Minnesota, in the president of the United States? Well, I mean, each one of these people is much more powerful than the one before. Shouldn't I be placed? No, I need to be placed in my faith in the one who has authority over all, who is God. God is showing us that he is even the head of these other places because he's the one who's commanding what's going to happen there. It's the head that decides where the body's going to go and directs it. This is why the church is directed to keep Christ the head. Because God's supposed to be in charge. Not Pastor Bruce. Not Don Wiggins, who is our district superintendent. Not Gary Benedict, who is the president of the National Christian and Missionary Alliance. He's not in charge either. Well, who's in charge? Who's the head? God. God. That's why we can, don't be afraid. Keep calm. Don't worry. God's in charge. Put our faith in him. Trust in him. Stand firm in him. Ephesians chapter 6 hits this note pretty hard. Sure. Just lost my placekeeper. You know, talks about putting on the armor of God. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the evil schemes. It's the armor of God. They're talking about putting on. And it tells us later, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The standing is all based upon God and what he provides. Being faithful in him. Do I have faith in God and the armor that he gives me? Do I have faith in his word? Do I have faith in the God that created all of this? Do I have faith in the God that created this? If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If we allow the attacks of the enemy to push us away from our faith, we've got nothing to stand on but quicksand. But it's only when we stand upon that which is worthy, when we stand on God, that we can stand firm. Everything else is not trustworthy. There's nothing else out there. Nobody else. No other power, no authority, no name upon which we can trust that's without flaw. Everything else out there will eventually disappoint you. If you trust in me, you will be disappointed much quicker. But we are to stand in our faith in God, our faith in Christ. This is what Isaiah is telling Ahaz. This is what God is telling us. Trust in me and what I am telling you. And if I tell you to do something which seems a little crazy, do it. That's God speaking, not Bruce speaking. Okay. If God is telling us something, he tells Ahaz right there, these guys coming against you, they're not going to last. They won't even get their army together and actually get over here. They're just going to fall apart. You know, they're making noises, they're going to attack, they're going to wipe you out. It's not going to happen. Look at the nation of Israel today. I'm going there in November, Lord willing. There are literally hundreds of millions of people on this earth who want Israel destroyed, want it gone. They got bigger armies. They got more money. Israel's still there. Yes, it was gone for a time, and we'll talk about in our next passage next week how it's God that's going to bring the judgment against Israel and remove them from the playing field at that time. They'll come back again, but this word here that we have today is God is telling Isaiah to tell Ahaz, these guys that are coming against you right now, don't worry about it. They're not my judgment. My judgment is what you got to worry about. No, Ahaz isn't supposed to be trusting himself. The people of Judah aren't supposed to be trusting in Ahaz or their walls or their army. They're supposed to be trusting in God. Stand firm in their faith. In their faith in that which is worthy of being trusted in. Anything else, they're going the wrong way. Two things we take here. One, God is one over all. Two, we need to trust Him. When Isaiah was sent out to speak to Ahaz, he was told to bring his son. We don't know how old his son is, but his son, Shir Jashub, if I'm even close, the name of his son means a remnant will return. Now, having his son there, as he's being told that this isn't going to take place, does lay out there that there's going to be judgment later. But it's also a promise that there's going to be a remnant. There's always going to be a remnant. You will not be destroyed. God has always promised to carry His people through. It may look like there's been total destruction and devastation. But if we trust in Him, if we have faith in Him, we will see Him carry us through to the end. And then the remnant will be there and will grow. And God's glory will be the one that shines through. This morning, it's short, it's sweet. Trust in God. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you this morning. Might we indeed have faith in you, that which is... You are the one who is worthy of trusting in. Lord, so many times we try to trust in our own strength. We trust in those who seem to be more powerful than ourselves, more knowledgeable, just someone who we think has more than we do. But Lord, what we find is that none of them matter, that in the end, you are the one who is head over all, and you are the one who we need to be trusting in. Lord, help us to keep that focus, to not get sidelined or sidetracked by putting our faith in the wrong place. But might we stand firm, trusting in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.